I mentioned during our Bible class that we would be having a lesson on tradition. And I'm just curious, how do you feel about that word? Is this going to be a lesson of condemnation? Is this going to be a lesson of commending tradition? Or is it going to be both? Is this a good word? Or is it a bad word? For those of us who are thinking of Matthew 15 or Mark chapter 7, the term has a clearly very negative connotation, and I want to spend just a few moments with that before we pass on to the good uses of tradition. So when Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees and the scribes, he is warned by them that his disciples were not keeping the traditions that had been handed down by the elders. They expected him to apologize. They expected him to rebuke his disciples. But instead, in verse 6, he simply states, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the commandments of men.'" And so we all understand, and we've been preaching against for years, the traditions of men that have been handed down in various denominational bodies that go all the way back to even the first and second centuries. Those traditions, as he says in verse 8, laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. This is a problem. We see it in the Catholic Church. We see it in many of the denominational churches. They start a tradition. The people in that group keep that tradition. But when you look in the scriptures, you find that that tradition is actually violating what the scriptures actually say. And so by keeping traditions of men, sometimes we have to lay aside God's commands. So the problem then is simple. Laying aside the commands of God and rejecting the commandments of God. This is the problem with human tradition. And Jesus tells us that every time we see it, Isaiah's prophecy comes true again. Every time we see any group of people, including the Lord's church, bringing in traditions that are human in their origin and that set aside the commandments of God, Isaiah's prophecy, you are a hypocrite and your worship is vain. And of course, the same thing is true with the other passage, which is Matthew chapter 15. And I'm not going to spend as much time on this one. I just wanted you to look at the little yellow parts in there where, once again, the scribes and the Pharisees are rebuking him about those traditions, and Jesus then goes on to condemn those traditions. And so, once again, whoops, you transgress and you make the commands of God of no effect. We see this today. Many denominations are teaching we're saved by faith only. That's a tradition that has come down, and in the process of keeping that tradition, they no longer preach baptism for the remission of sins. They set aside the commands of God in order to keep their traditions. And of course, we are set for the defense of the gospel, any tradition along this line, and you and I are going to be activated and we're going to preach against it. And then there's the human traditions that come from the Gentiles. Peter talks about, number one, don't conform yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. Because if you look at the very last verse there, verse 18, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. There are many traditions that are coming down from the American culture that are just like the religious traditions in the denominations. We have many new traditions that are seeking to be built into and formed in our culture today. Things that have been handed down that, as Peter says here, they only allow us to conform to lusts. So those, again, are things that we would preach against. But the scriptures also speak of holding traditions. So there's a third kind of tradition. There's the traditions of religious organizations that allow God's word to be set aside. There are the traditions of the culture that allow man to engage in sinful lusts without repentance. But then there are other traditions that God has asked us to stand fast and hold, which literally means to seize. So I should be more than happy to set aside the traditions of my American culture, the aimless code of conduct handed down, in order to embrace the traditions that God has set forth in the Scriptures, and that all of us here should be following, so that as new converts come in, they can see the true traditions that have come down from God. And so Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2, brethren, stand fast and hold. So then he goes on to say, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which you received from us. So Paul has been setting down new traditions. Traditions that God wanted his people to hand down from father to son, from father to son, all the way through until this day. And so those who do not follow the traditions received from the inspired writers of the New Testament are now walking disorderly. Now, this is what Paul is trying to help us understand. And there's a very important point here that I wanted to develop in the lesson this morning. That's why I wanted to quickly get through these initial few slides so we can really delve into this. But let's take just a moment again to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15 at the top of the slide here. Stand fast means make yourself stable. These things are worth dying for. These things must never be set aside. We must hold fast and seize them. What are they? The traditions that they were taught, whether by word, which was the conduct that Paul was manifesting and Paul and Silas and Timothy were manifesting in their midst, not a letter, but just oral communication, discussions, activities, whether by word or by epistle. Then he goes on, if you do not walk according to the tradition which you receive from us, you're walking disorderly. Then in verse 7, he explains what he means. You yourselves know how you ought to follow us. Now, the Greek word follow is a word we use all the time. It's the Greek word mimeo, from which we get mimic, and mimeograph, which means taking something and imitating it. And so Paul says, you should be imitating our example. And so we know we ought to follow them. Or do we? You know, we do a series on Bible authority. We talk about commands, examples, and necessary inferences. And of course, these are the first three things that become or go under attack whenever the church wants to move from the traditions of the Scriptures to new traditions which they are going to make. And we've seen these new traditions as they've been handed down in what we now call the institutional churches. In the institutional churches, we see traditions that have been handed down from the 50s. You can't go any further back, but from the 50s and on, and they just continue to be passed down. But the commands are the New Testament Scriptures. What about the examples? That's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about these examples. I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. Now, what's he talking about here? What is he referring to when he says traditions? We all understand what a command is. When Paul makes a command, that's a law. We have to keep it. But then there's these traditions which are going to be developing. What exactly does he mean? Well, first of all, he says, I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. That's a tradition. That's a tradition that you and I hold to in the church. Now, we're watching the American culture as they drift away from this. As a matter of fact, in many places today, if you were to say the head of every woman or the head of woman is man, that's not a tradition anymore. That's part of the aimless code of conduct handed down by tradition. It started when? I don't know, in the early 1900s, maybe even in the 1800s, but it's here now. Women are equal to men in every respect, and to say otherwise is to violate the traditions of the American culture. But we're in the Church of Christ. We keep the traditions just as they were delivered. And so, in the Lord's church, the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man. The head of Christ is God. And if we don't like that, it's because the traditions of human thinking have entered our minds. Because that's not the tradition that Paul put. Matter of fact, look at this. This verse follows. I separated them, but literally, if you read it, it would be this. I praise you, brethren, that you remember in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. That's a tradition. We keep it. It's fixed. It's absolute. It's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul said, let the women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted for them to speak, as also says the law. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where he says, I want men to pray in every place. I want women to wear modest apparel. It is not permitted for a woman to teach or take dominion over a man, but to be in silence. Now, once again, those three verses are not practiced in most, quote, Christian groups in America today. And they're not being practiced in some of the institutional churches of Christ. That cult, that custom, that tradition has been thrown out. Do we have the right to do that? Do we have the right, as Paul says here, I praise you that you remember me in all things, and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. Then he goes on to say this, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory for her. For her hair is given to her for or as a covering. It is the covering that shows the submission, and in the Church of Christ, this is one of our customs. It is a custom for a man not to have long hair. It is a custom for a woman to have long hair. This is a custom that comes down from God. It is not cultural. Now, cultures shift. Sometimes the men have longer hair. Sometimes the women have shorter hair. In the church, we do not bow to those things. We do not allow the culture or the customs of the culture or the traditions of the culture to enter into the church. In the Church of Christ, the culture is very clear and the traditions that have been handed down. Now, he also continues by saying this and giving you these instructions. I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. And then he goes on to talk about the traditions of the Lord's Supper. Let a man eat at home. When you come together as a church to take the Lord's Supper, then 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 24, I received of the Lord this tradition, which I now pass on to you, that the Lord, the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had broken it, he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. And after the supper, the cup, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. This do as often as you do it in remembrance of me. That's a custom. Again, a custom that is not practiced in many of the denominations today, but which is a vital part of the culture in the Lord's church. It's a custom that has been handed down. In Acts 20 and 7, we see the custom clearly set forth. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Paul was there. Paul approved of the tradition. We keep that tradition. Because these traditions are what we would call the new norm. We replace the vain manner of life handed down by tradition from our fathers. And we replace them with the new traditions that are handed down from the scriptures. Now, some of us who are first generation Christians, those traditions are very short lived. But those of us who have been members of the church, and our parents were members of the church, and their parents were members of the church, these traditions come down to us, not from man. Just as evil conduct, righteous and holy conduct. So the roles of men and women in the church, the roles of men and women in the home. If you read Ephesians chapter 4, submitting one to another in the fear of Christ, wives submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. Children obey your parents in the Lord. You fathers do not provoke them to wrath. Servants be in submission to your masters in everything. And masters treat your servants as like brothers in Christ. That's the new norm. That's not what's practiced in many homes today. But we hold the traditions that we have received because we know where they came from. So as Paul said, stand fast and seize and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. And so we go down and we go back to the scriptures. We try to strip away. This is what I tell people all the time. The Church of Christ tries to strip away all of the traditions that have been injected into those people who have come down from the centuries, but they don't go all the way back to the first century. Our traditions must go back to the scriptures. The scriptures handed them down. And we hold fast to them. We cling to them. These traditions, like women having long hair and men having short hair, these traditions, like taking the Lord's Supper on the first day of every week, these are traditions we hold fast to because they go all the way back to the New Testament. We look around, we don't see it. It's not been handed down in the Catholic Church. It's not been handed down in many of the denominations. We find it in the scriptures. We hand it down. And we should. But the broad nature of tradition takes in more than just the commandments. And that's what I want to spend the rest of our lesson looking at. Let's look at this verse. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ. Now, ways is talking about his conduct, the way I live my life in Christ. He will remind you of the ways that I live in Christ. As I teach everywhere, in every church. So Paul's ways and his teachings are the same. You know, it's exactly what Jesus said. This will be our very last verse in this lesson. Teaching them to observe everything I commanded you. Now, you can teach them to observe, but you can also observe the teaching. That's what Paul's talking about here. I observe the teachings. My ways in Christ are just as important as my teachings. So now when I go through the book of Acts and I look at the things Paul did, I'm seeing traditions. Now, they're brand new traditions, but they were expected to be handed down. Paul said, Timothy will remind you of my ways. So Paul's example is just as important as a teaching. Now, you may not see that from this verse, but I think when you look at the next few verses, we'll all agree that that's the case. Tradition comes from teaching. It also comes from imitation. So, all of the examples. Now, let's look at some verses here. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions, whether by word, that's not a letter, that's by word, that's what we read about in the book of Acts. We read about the apostles baptizing, not just by command, but by example. We read about the apostles meeting on the first day of the week to break bread, not just from commandments, but also from example. We learn it from word. According to the tradition, you know how you ought to follow us. Do we know how to follow Paul? Do we do that? Do we look at the traditions that have been received from them, not just from commands, but also by observing the commands? Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Paul's life, his teachings, his conduct are a pattern. He says the same thing in chapter 4. The things you learned and received, those are his letters, and heard and saw in me, those are his conduct. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's a big promise, isn't it? If you will follow my example and if you will follow my teachings, God will be with you. If you don't follow my teachings, if you don't follow my example, if you don't follow what you learned and received from the scriptures, and what you heard and saw in me in all of the epistles and in all of the material in the book of Acts, that's how we know whether God is with us or not. So Paul's life is a pattern. Now, I'm not going to take time. We just talked about that. But we're going to have a huge gap in our ability to know how to serve the Lord if we leave this out. It's exactly what Paul commanded Timothy. Look at this verse. You have carefully followed my doctrine. Okay, well, that's his teachings, that's his letters, that's his commandments. You have carefully followed my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my perseverance, my persecutions and afflictions. You have carefully followed that, Timothy. Now look at verse 14. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Do you think that Paul is condemning Timothy here? You carefully followed not just my teachings, my doctrine, but also my manner of life. What he told the Philippians, he tells Timothy. What he told the Corinthians, he tells Timothy. What we need to understand, we need to carefully follow Paul's doctrine, but we also need to carefully follow his manner of life and his purpose. I love Philippians chapter 3. Not that I've already attained or I'm already made perfect, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's not a command. That's Paul's manner of life. That's Paul's purpose. That's his faith and his long suffering and his love and his perseverance. And I love it when he says before that, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. That's a tradition to me. I'm going to carefully follow that. I'm going to carefully follow how Paul tells us he does things. Just like Timothy. You have carefully followed my doctrine. Yes, absolutely. But also my manner of life. And my purpose. And my faith. Paul is an excellent example of faith. He's just like Moses. who considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. That's exactly what Paul did. He considered the reproach of Christ greater than everything he had to give up as rubbish. And I'm going to follow that. Because he's part of the great cloud of witnesses. Remember in Hebrews chapter 12? Talking about the people in chapter 11? We have a great cloud of witnesses. And Paul's another one. You've carefully followed, not just my doctrine, but manner of life. And I won't go through it again, but I think we all see the point. Here's another one. Lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible. Let such a person consider this, what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we also be in deed when we are present. There's no difference. You say, but wasn't Paul human? Couldn't he have made mistakes? Well, yes, he probably could have, but the Holy Spirit didn't record those things. The only way the Holy Spirit can record for us and then tell us, follow Paul's life as a tradition, is if he makes sure that doesn't happen. But this verse is pretty clear. It isn't just his letters. What we are in word by letters when we are absent. And of course, that's all we have today, except for the things that Paul has recorded in his letters and in the book of Acts about his purpose, his manner of life, his persecutions, his afflictions. What we are in word by letters, such will we also be indeed when we are present. So the conduct and the teachings are identical. If Paul were present, we would see in him all that he has taught in his letters. And we would understand, as they were told in the first century, my example is giving you the traditions because I'm living what I'm preaching. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm living what I'm preaching. And it's no different. Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what they taught others to observe, they observed. What we observe and what they did is all part of the commands that Jesus left for us to follow. So what we learn here on the first day of the week, what we learn in the scriptures, what we learn by Paul's life, those need to be our traditions. We need to set aside the vain manner of life handed down from our fathers. We need to set aside the religious traditions that have come down that somehow are still influencing us. And we need to be sure that the traditions that were lived by the apostles and that were taught by the apostles, we hold fast. We have seized them and we hold fast to them. Because if we don't, we're walking disorderly. Those churches who don't partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week like they did in Troas, setting forth a tradition that we are to follow, are walking disorder. Those churches who do not baptize the same hour of the night, those churches who are teaching that baptism is not important, they are not keeping the traditions that were handed down. So what does Paul say? Paul says, we command you, brethren, in the name or by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly, and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. Now, he doesn't say you yourselves know that you need to obey the commands in the letters. That's part of it. But he goes on and he extends it to, you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Nor was he disorderly among the Corinthians, nor was he disorderly among the Ephesians, and nor was he disorderly when he went to Judea. So when we read in the book of Acts, his life, his purpose, his teachings, his afflictions, that's how it ought to be. And we need to do the same. And that's what Paul told Timothy that he was supposed to do, and you and I are supposed to do. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love. If you overlay this on what Paul said Timothy was doing with him, you'll see a correlation. The traditions that Paul started, Timothy is now continuing. And we're supposed to be continuing. I'm supposed to be doing it. You're supposed to be doing it. We should all be living our lives so that any new convert who comes in our midst will be able to look at how we run our home, how we run our lives, how we live ourselves, how we do things in the church as an example. Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. As Timothy divests himself of human tradition and other traditions that have come down, and he continually grows in the true traditions that are in the Scriptures, your progress made evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. That's a mandate to all preachers, but it's also a mandate to all Christians. It's a mandate to all fathers and mothers. It's a mandate to all Bible class teachers. Be an example in word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, purity. You carefully followed my manner of life, my love, my purpose, my faith, my persecutions. Now you do the same for them. Traditions handed down from generation to generation. The people in this world need to see Christians keeping the traditions as they were handed down directly from God. And the only way we can do that is by sifting through the Scriptures, not just the teachings, but also the lifestyle of those people who lived the life of a Christian. And by looking at both of them, we can have a well-rounded understanding of what we're supposed to be as Christians. And so when I read in the Scriptures something Paul's doing and I'm not doing, I need to take note of that. When we read in the Scriptures things that Paul was doing and we are doing, we need to thank God for that, and we need to keep doing that. When we read in the Scriptures the commands, the traditions, the ordinances, the lifestyle, we need to show the brethren in the church that tradition by the way we conduct ourselves, following these things as closely as we possibly can. That's what the Church of Christ is. That's why I became a member of the Church of Christ. That's why I've continued as a member of the Church of Christ, because I've studied the Scriptures and I find in the Church of Christ everything that ought to be there and nothing that shouldn't be there. I can't find that in all the other churches in the world today. I don't find that. I only find it here. We want to keep it. We want to seize it. We want to hold fast to it. We want to show the people in America what it means to believe that Genesis chapter 1 is literal and that God is the creator and he did it in 6 days. We want to show the people that every word in the Scriptures is absolute truth. That every example in the Scriptures is something that we should follow. We want to do that because that's what being a Christian is. And so, brethren, as we finish our lesson this morning, I hope that all of us have looked deeply within our hearts and we can say a good hearty amen. these traditions handed down from the Scriptures in our homes, in the church, in our conduct, in the way we do business, in the way we conduct ourselves, in the way that we show the light to the world, all ought to be the same. If during the course of this lesson something struck you out of harmony with what was being taught, and you realize in your heart that there's a problem, fix it. If you need to go home and repent, go home and repent. If you need to repent here, if you need to go home and talk to your spouse or talk to your children, if you need to come forward, whatever it is, get your life right with God. That's what the invitation is all about. So if there's anyone here this morning who's not a Christian, or is a Christian but feels the need to make their life right with God in one way or another, we now invite you to come while we together stand and sing.